Good evening. It's good to see y'all on the internet with us this evening. If you would, we're going to start off by singing a few praise and worship songs, starting with Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love, out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted, carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. Sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. Fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. kiss the world goodbye and go in peace and laugh on glory's side. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Amen. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the Potter. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, may I get ever true. Change my heart, O clay. Hold me and make Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you would please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Amen. All right. That was a good time of worship and praise. Good to see each and every one of you on the live stream tonight. Glad you could join us. We continue on in our services on the live stream. Good. So we do have some prayer requests that we want to think about as we come together tonight as the body of Christ. Here at New Hope Baptist Church online, I've got several prayer requests. One is from Bobby Coons. He has a friend by the name of Amanda Nickel Burns. Okay, Amanda Nickel Burns, and she is got a lump there, and she's going to be going and getting a mammogram, and we're praying for no cancer for her. And then we've got a pretty extensive prayer request for the Borgman clan, Richard and Nancy Borgman, and some of their kids. Richard and Nancy had traveled, I want to say, two and a half weeks ago for a funeral for Richard's sister up in Michigan. And upon coming back home, they both come down, Richard and Nancy have both come down with some sickness, and at this point are still sick. In fact, Nancy is in the hospital. She has some heart arrhythmia issues, and so they're trying to treat her for that. And Richard is sick at the house. And also their daughter, Diane, who is living in Tennessee with her husband, Diane, Richard and Nancy's daughter. She has come down with COVID, and so she cares for a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 7-year-old. She's got a very young family, so she's having a difficult time with the COVID, and so we want to pray for Diane and Nancy Borgman in the hospital and Richard sick. We'll lift all that whole family up tonight. And then we've got a prayer request on Barbara Alexander. Miss Barbara is in the hospital. She's got some heart issues. Came down with a bacterial infection, and that infection has affected her heart. And so they're trying to get her ready to get out of the hospital, but still go to a nursing care center where she can receive more antibiotics for this issue. But lift up Barbara Alexander. And then we want to continue to pray for Marilyn Davlin with this pinched nerve issue stuff going on in her neck, her arms, her shoulders, her back, all of that. I want to continue to pray for Miss Karen Tate. I believe Miss Karen will be back with us this coming Sunday. Heard from her today, and so on the text message. And so she's recovering from that back surgery. We want to continue to pray for Miss Karen as she heals up from that back surgery. And then my dad, Bobby Jack, he's been in rehab for a week and a day, and probably going to be in rehab another 2 weeks. So we want to continue to pray for my dad. He had come down with a COVID. My whole household in Duncanville came down with my parents and my brother, so they've all three been through it. But he came down with it and was just to the point of where, you know, he was pretty much bedridden, wasn't getting up, wasn't moving around. You know how that is, you know, when you just kind of give up like that, you start to atrophy and lose all your strength. So they've got him in rehab after, I want to say, a week in the hospital, week, 10 days in the hospital. He's now, he came home for a week because he had COVID again, or still had COVID, was still showing up when they thought he was at, I don't know. But anyway, he's in rehab for a week and a day and going to be there another 2 weeks. We'll continue to pray for Bobby Jack Lee, my dad. And then Jeff McCormick, Paul and Pat's son, as he continues to pursue job prospects at this time. And then Ann and Fred Redmond, we want to continue to pray for Ann and Fred as they struggle with their health issues. I want to pray for our country's new leadership. Today we had a peaceful transfer of power, and Joe Biden is the new president, 46th president of the United States of America. And so as we pray for our country and its new leadership, we want to pray for some of these far-right groups that, you know, they've kind of just fade off into the distance a little bit here. And let this thing kind of simmer down, cool off a little bit. Cooler heads prevail, right? And so as we pray for our country, we want to pray for both sides to lay down the axe, so to speak. So anyway, Joe Biden, new president, 46th, transfer of power, peaceful today. We want to continue to pray for our country. And then pray for our unspokens, those with unspoken prayer requests. And then do we have anything else on the chat at this time? Okay, all right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll lift these things up. You guys have anything back there? Felicia, all right. This is Lori's friend, Felicia. And what's the prayer request for Felicia again? Yes. Yeah. Amen. Salvation and her relationship. And then, Laura, you're looking for a job? Or you still got a job? Okay, looking for a new job. It's always better to have a job while you look for one, right? Yeah. J-O-B, all right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, okay? Amen? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, and Lord, we're thankful that we can gather tonight, even in the midst of this pandemic and everything going on in the world. Lord, thank you that we have the technology to get the gospel out over the internet, Lord, and over the Facebook and over the YouTube. We praise you and thank you for that. So we come to you tonight, Lord. We just begin to lift these prayer requests up. There are many tonight. And Lord, we're thankful that you're a God who hears us. We're thankful that you're a God who loves us. And we're thankful that you're a God who has saved us. Thank you for saving us, Lord. And as we come to you tonight, our hearts are heavy. And we seek to bind our hearts together, Lord, as we lift each of these requests up by name. We pray for Bobby Coon's friend. We lift up Miss Amanda Burns to you, Lord. And we pray for this diagnostic test that she's going to be having. And Lord, we pray that it reveals no cancer, Lord. We pray there's no cancer in this lady's body. And Lord, we just pray you protect her and help her, Lord, and just guide her through this, what is probably a very anxious time for her. Lord, we lift up the Borgman family to you, Lord. We pray for Richard. We pray for his healing and health, Lord, that you would get him over this sickness as he has traveled and grieved the loss of his sister, Lord. We just pray that you would touch him, bring healing to his body. We pray for his bride, Miss Nancy, Lord, and we pray that those heart arrhythmia issues would come in line, the AFib would calm down, and Lord, those heart enzymes would be normal, and Lord, she would get to go home soon from the hospital. And then, Lord, we lift up Nancy and Richard's daughter to you, Diane. We pray that you would see her through during this time as she struggles with the COVID. And Lord, I pray these young babies would not get it, or anyone else in the household would not get it. And Lord, you would just help Diane through. Lord, give her the extra strength that she needs. And Lord, when she does get to rest, I pray you would just multiply that rest. Lord, I pray that she would stay hydrated up. And that, Lord, her body would just begin to make antibodies and start to shed this virus, Lord, and get on down the road from it, Lord. But we pray for, there'd be no hospitalization, and we pray that there would be no one else in the household that would test positive with the COVID at this time. Lord, we continue to pray for Marilyn Davlin and Miss Karen Tate and Ann and Fred, Lord, and those that are struggling with their health and health issues. Lord, we pray you touch these folks and you bring relief, you bring healing, Lord. You direct them to the doctors and specialists that they need to see so that they can Lord, so that they can get some help perhaps that way. But Lord, we just pray that you might ease discomfort and you might give strength where strength is needed as these folks go through this difficult time. Lord, we do lift up my dad tonight, and we pray for his rehab and his strength as he's in that rehab center. Lord, I pray that he's a good rehab patient and that he works hard, and Lord, that he gets some strength back so that he can go and get up out of that bed and get out of that bedroom, Lord, and get out of the house. And Lord, I just pray that you help him and be with him. Be with my mother and my brother, Lord. I just pray you protect them at this time, and Lord, just watch over them. We lift up Jeff McCormick to you, Paul and Pat's son. Lord, we pray that you would bless him with that job that's best suited for him, Lord, that you would give wisdom and discernment, and Lord, just open doors, and Lord, just show him the way, and Father God, just help him get back to Lord, being that breadwinner there at that house. And Lord, we know he wants to work, and he's pursuing work in his field, and Lord, we just pray the right job, the right door would open, and you would just bless him beyond measure with that new job soon, Father God. Lord, we pray for our country tonight, and we lift up this 46th president and his administration. We pray for his cabinet. Lord, we pray for these two new senators that were sworn in today. Lord, we pray that, as we've been praying, that religious freedom would be protected, and that our inalienable rights would not be trampled upon in this transition and everything going on. And Lord, we know there is a left-leaning liberal agenda in our government, and it's always been there. And Lord, we pray that you'd protect the church from that liberal left-leaning agenda. And Lord, we pray that you'd protect the unborn from that left-leaning liberal agenda. And Lord, we just pray that you would watch over this nation. And Lord, we pray for revival for this nation, even in the midst of everything going on. And Lord, we just pray for your help. We pray for your help for this new president, his administration. Protect him, strengthen him, Lord. Give him great wisdom and discernment as he governs and as he tries to get his programs and tries to get his bills and laws and all of that stuff passed, Lord. I pray that these things would be church-friendly. And Lord, religious friendly. And Lord, we'd still be able 2 years from now, 4 years from now, 6 years from now, continue to preach your Bible and assemble as people of faith. Lord, we do lift up these unspokens tonight, those that have them. Lord, you are in control. You're sovereign. And Lord, we just lay these things down at your feet. And we pray for your help. We pray for your patience. We pray for your strength as we carry these things another day, another week, another month. And Lord, we're just thankful that you hear us and that you care about these things that we care about. And Lord, you take these things from us. We want to lay these things down, these unspoken prayer requests. And Lord, we lay them down believing, having the faith, knowing that you help us with these things. And that when we can't pray and don't know what to pray, you even make intercession for us. And Lord, so we're thankful for that. We praise you for that tonight. Lord, we lift up Lori's friend to you, Felicia, and we do pray for her salvation. Lord, we pray that salvation might come into her heart, that she might experience the truth and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, that she might be convicted of her sin and come to the realization that she's a sinner in need of a Savior. And that, Lord, you would put people in her path, Lori and other Christians, to sow seeds of salvation in her life and in her heart. And Lord, before too long, maybe another week, another month, another year, Felicia is ready and ripe. And Lord, you call her. We pray you call her to salvation and that she responds, that she answers the call and receives you as personal Savior and Lord. And Lord, we pray for her relationship with her fiancé. We pray you might heal that and make that right. And Lord, get that all straightened out. And Lord, we lift up Lori tonight as she is seeking a new direction in her working career. We pray you might open that door and give her wisdom and discernment on what she needs to do, where she needs to go, and Lord, how she needs to do it. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we can, again, be in your word and be together online. And Lord, we pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to hearing your word and receiving your word. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit might apply your word to each and every one of us as we taste and experience the Word of God together. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, very good. Well, we are in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. We continue on in the series of messages. And we've kind of in a mini-series within the series talking about Moses' finest hour, right? And we talked about that prayer, right? And a big prayer that he prayed. Before we jump the gun, though, let's read our passage. Our passage is found in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, if you have a copy of God's Word. Exodus chapter 32. We'll pick it up here at verse 15. The Word of God reads in Exodus 32, beginning in verse 15. It says, "Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain," right? "With the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other." So what's he got? He's got two copies of the Ten Commandments. Remember, we always talk about this when it comes up in the Bible. It's not 1 through 5 on one and 6 through 10 on the other. It's, you know, the tablets are written front and back, you know, to save tablets. Tablets hard, I don't know. It's written on front and back. That's the way God did it. That's the way it was. So, you know, you've got Ten Commandments on one tablet. You've got Ten Commandments on the other. Why does he have both of them? When you enter into a covenant with somebody, you have a contract, right? You have a covenant. You covenant together. That's the copy. That's the two copies of the covenant. You get a copy. The other party gets a copy. God basically said to Moses, "Hey, I'm going to keep my end of the bargain. You take my copy. You take your copy. It's all fine and good." So that's what's going on in that verse. The tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets, verse 16. Verse 17, "Now when Joshua heard the sound," remember Joshua had gone up with Moses onto the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. "Now when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses," verse 17, "There's a sound of war in the camp." But he said, "It's not the sound of the cry of triumph, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." This is Joshua talking to Moses. Verse 19, "Came about as soon as Moses came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain." Wow. Now, we'll continue on with some more verses, but that's kind of just to kind of set the context. So last time, when we ended our Bible study, we were talking about what? We were talking about Moses' great prayer that he prayed on behalf of the sinful, idolatrous Hebrews, these people, right? This evening, our attention now turns to how Moses deals with the people, or in a sense, how Moses holds the people accountable to the Word and the law of God. Okay, that's what's going on. So Moses' intercession, where did it happen? Kind of a rhetorical question. We kind of get the sense of where that all happened. Moses prayed for the people while he was up on the mountain, right? But the sin was still going on in the valley while he was interceding on behalf of the people with God, telling God, "Don't destroy them. I don't want to be a new Abraham. We don't want to destroy God. You don't want to destroy these people. You don't want to go back on your word. Remember." And we talked about how all that was a test for Moses to drive Moses further in his intercession for the people. Because these people are, in fact, what? The Hebrews are God's chosen people. So Moses came down the mountain and dealt with the people as best he knew how. Think about that. As best he knew how. Now, on the mountain, he had only been hearing about their sin from God. As he made his way down the mountain, and he saw and he heard, right, with his eyes and his own ears, he saw what was actually going on, and he was so overcome with anger, holy, righteous anger. Sometimes we say, you know, all anger is a sin. That's not true, right? Some anger is a sin, but there is some anger that is holy, righteous anger. You're angry over babies being aborted. Holy, righteous anger. You know, if you're angry over senseless killings and racial violence and racial injustice, that's Holy righteous anger, right? So he was angry. Holy righteous anger. Moses was wound up. He was so wound up that he threw down the stone tablets of the law, both copies, and he broke them right there at the foot of the mountain before the people. I don't want you to miss the symbolic significance of what is happening by Moses standing there at the foot of the mountain and throwing these two tablets down. The people have been breaking the law of God. So what does Moses do? Moses breaks the tablets of the law as a visual demonstration of their rebellion against Almighty God. That's what's going on here, the symbolic significance of that. So Moses' job now, Moses' pastoral job, Moses' job as God's spokesman, Moses' job as God's great prophet, Moses' job as God's loving pastor to God's chosen people was to reclaim these people. But how was he going to do that? How in the world was Moses going to do that? Well, he did everything, as I just mentioned earlier, he did everything that he knew to do. Now, right here, right now, we need to talk about this because this is an important lesson you don't want to miss. You got big decisions to make. You've got trying things coming your way soon in the near future, friend. You may not find exactly what you're looking for in the Bible on what to do or how to do it. But notice here, Moses did everything that he knew to do. There is something to be said about spending time with God. There is something to be said with spending time with God and spending time in God's Word. I mean, there's just something to be said about it. For Moses, here as an illustration, as a great example to us, he found great discernment, found great wisdom on how to deal with the people. So what did he do, preacher? Well, he did three things we want to think about tonight as we quickly go through this. Number one, he destroyed the idol. He literally destroyed it. Look at verse 20. He took the calf, Exodus 32, 20. He took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it over the surface of the water and made the sons of Israel drink it. Now, there are scholars, and I tend to agree with this line of thinking. There are scholars think that this means here, verse 20, means that the idol was not made entirely of gold, and that it was a wooden structure that was wrapped in gold, because gold, of course, cannot be burned, right? So the gold fell into the dirt or was reclaimed or whatever. But instead, the wood or the structure or whatever was the gold was wrapped on, that was what was consumed by the fire, and that is what was all ground up, and that was what was sprinkled over the water. The point is this. The point is that he destroyed the idol, literally, completely destroyed it. By destroying the idol, Moses showed the people what? He showed them that the idol was powerless, had absolutely no power. The people had been worshiping the idol as a symbol of great sexual potency, praising this thing as the God who had powerfully brought them out of Egypt. This bull god we talked about, his name was Apis. But this idol, if it's so strong and powerful, it couldn't even defend itself. That's the point Moses is trying to make. It's not strong and powerful. It has absolutely zero power. And so when he mixed the remains of the idol after it had been burned and ground, when he mixed the remains with the water and made them drink it, the remains of the idol passed first into and then out of their bodies, right? What's the point? This is a way of saying that the idol was a refuse. I mean, he's trying to make the word picture here that the idol is as worthless as dung, okay? I mean, that's what's going on here in the passage with the burning, the grinding, the scattering, and then you drinking it, right? He's trying to get that point across. This is nothing. It's as of dung, right? Secondly, number one, he destroyed the idol. But secondly, he rebuked Aaron publicly. He rebuked Aaron publicly. Look at verse 21. Then Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them?" Upon them. Now, that was, think this through with me, that was the most he could do. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, Aaron had been appointed by who? Not by Moses. Aaron had been appointed by God and was the anointed of the Lord. Later on in the Old Testament, and you know this story, we've preached on it, talked about it, it's come up in Bible studies and Sunday school classes. Later in the Old Testament, David would not do what? David would not destroy Saul, King Saul. Why? Because Saul was the anointed of the Lord. Neither would Moses lay his hands on Aaron. If Aaron was going to be removed, then God had to remove him. But Moses did do what? He did rebuke Aaron publicly, and he did rebuke him, I think, appropriately, just as Paul, the Apostle Paul, rebuked Peter when Peter began to waver on the matter of the purity of the gospel. Now, if you want to see that for yourselves in black and white in the Bible here, take your Bibles and you can turn over to the New Testament into Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. All right. Galatians chapter 2. We'll just look at the passage just real briefly. Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Galatians 2:11. But when Cephas, that's Peter, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, feeling the party of the circumcision, talking about the Jews. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, "If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?" He got him, amen, appropriately, called him out publicly. What did Peter do? Peter came to his senses because somebody that loved him held him accountable to the Word of God. All right, so that's what's going on. What did he do? Secondly, he rebuked Aaron publicly. Now, what did Aaron say in his defense? I mean, it's the same thing that has gone on since time began. He played the blame game. Not my fault. Not my. It's somebody else's fault. This has all happened. It's not my fault. Aaron gave a terribly, in response to his public rebuke, Aaron gave a terribly self-serving, blame-passing, lame excuse. Now, there's a lot of adjectives in there. He's self-serving, a blame-passing, lame excuse. Look at verses 22 through 24. Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself, that they are prone to evil. For they said to me, 'Make a God for us who will go before us.' For this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them tear it off." So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. I mean, I'm telling you, he's spinning one, isn't he? Right? First of all, he blamed the people there, if you didn't pick up on that. He blamed them. It's not his fault. It's the people's fault. And then he blamed Moses indirectly. "You know, Moses, the real problem was the fact that you stayed so long up there on the mountain, 40 days, 40 nights. Moses, if you had only come down a little sooner, just a little sooner, then this whole fiasco with the golden calf would not even have happened. I hope you picked up on that, right? But thirdly, who else did Aaron blame? It's where the blame game always ultimately leads. He blamed God. He even blamed God when he claimed that he had thrown the gold into the fire, and poof, out comes a calf, fully formed on its own, per his testimony in Exodus 32:24. The incident, we know the incident had not happened that way at all, of course, for we know based on the entire text that Aaron was guilty of the charge that Moses inferred and brought upon him publicly. Ultimately, when we talk about how he was rebuked publicly, ultimately, this is what we can say. Not trying to pile it on, but just making some observations here. Aaron revealed his poor leadership qualities here. Now, the best we can say about Aaron is that he was weak rather than strong. He was pliant or impressionable and compromising when he should have been what? Resolute, right? He was more anxious to please the people than to please God. He was a man pleaser. He was not a God pleaser at all. Now, these sometimes seem like mild faults, but they are not mild one bit. I want to tell you, in a leader, when a leader falls victim to these kinds of things, especially a Christian leader, these are serious things. Weak leadership probably does more damage to the church of Jesus Christ today than outright opposition by the enemies of the gospel. Think about that. Weak leadership. Weak pulpits. Weak leadership. Think that through, friend. Weakness from within destroyed what? It destroyed the Roman Empire. Weakness from within. It wasn't the barbarians that were on the outside trying to get into Rome. It was the weakness of the Roman Empire inside itself. And weakness within the church, is more harmful than the church's enemies. Don't ever forget that. We're our own worst enemy at times, right? Amen? Think about that. All right, so what did he do? He destroyed the idol. What did he do? He rebuked Aaron publicly. What did he do? Well, he executed limited judgment on the people. Now, what did God tell him he wanted to do? God told him he wanted to wipe them all out and start afresh with Moses. Moses knew when he came down off that mountain and saw what he saw and threw the stone tablets down, this is God's workmanship. God had written these tablets by his speaking, right? These tablets were formed, written, all that, you know, God, two copies of God's covenant here, right? He knew something had to happen, so he executed limited judgment on the people. Verses 25 through 27. Look at this. Now, when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and he said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the sons, it says all of them, all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. He said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every man of you put his sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp and kill every man, his brother, every man, his friend, and every man, his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Wow. Wow. What is going on here? Give us some context, kind of set the tone. What are we seeing here? The idolatrous leaders, the people who came up with this grand scheme, this sinful scheme, right? They are killed. They are killed. The implication of the text is that the Levites were to kill the idolatrous leaders of this pagan insurrection. That's what's going on here. So the people probably numbered several million at this time, and in comparison, the Levites didn't kill that many, right? The text says 3,000. They didn't kill that many. It's kind of like, you know, there's 330 million people in the United States of America, and 405,000 people, they're saying now, have died from COVID. You know, when you think about 300, I mean, it's now more than all the men that died in World War II. But when you think about it, it's a lot. But when you know somebody that's died, then that number gets real, right? It really gets real. What is stressed is that the Levites were to execute judgment even on those members of their own families. Men that were their friends. That's what that passage is saying. Men that were their neighbors. And the Levites did what? They killed their brothers, and they killed their friends, and they killed their neighbors. And they were part of this group that were part of this insurrection. They did what had to be done. They showed, the Levites here, that faithfulness to God was more important than the closest human ties. Faithfulness to God was more important than the closest human ties. Friend, that's always been the struggle in the church, is people end up putting their friendships above the Word of God. They don't hold one another accountable. They don't help each other grow in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And everything just kind of gets dumbed down. And the church just kind of goes the way of left field, right? And loses its why. Loses its focus, and loses its function, and loses its purpose. It just becomes not much, right? So always remember that. Always remember faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God is so much more important than any of our closest human ties. It's so easy to worship these relationships because we're relational people. It's so easy to worship these relationships and even make them idolatrous. Oh, I beg you to not do that. I beg you to search your heart if you are doing that and stop doing that, right? Faithfulness to God is so much more important than the closest human ties. We are told that 3,000 people, I've mentioned that number, I'll mention it again, 3,000 people were killed that day, right? They did the deed, the Levites. About 0.5% of the 600 men, of the fighting-aged men, right, of the men that could fill an army, the 600,000 men who had gone out from Egypt. Now, proportionately, that was not a large number, right? But it is a lot of people to kill in one day. Now, some of them are putting up a fight, friend. That's a lot of people to kill. And the Levites killed them, even when it affected members of their own households. What can we say about these Levites? We can say that they were men of integrity who feared God more than they feared men. Pastor, were they men pleasers or God pleasers? Well, what do you think they were? They were God pleasers, were they not? Now, we remember this integrity that these Levite men had. We remember this integrity in connection with what Jesus said when he was speaking about what it means to follow him. He said in Matthew 10:37, he said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Think about your relationships tonight and what's the most important relationship that there is. Relationship with your God, with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Both Moses and Jesus were saying that in the service of God, all other loyalties have to be secondary, have to be subordinate. If you're going to serve the God of the universe, If you're going to serve the one who spoke everything into creation, if you're going to serve the one who knitted you and knew you before eternity, if you're going to serve that one, then you have to serve him above all other allegiances and loyalties. You're not a Republican and then a Christian. No, or the new party that's coming, a Trumplican. No, you're not that first. You're a Christian first. And then if you're married, you're a spouse second. And then if you're a parent, you're a parent third, friend. Or if you're a son or a daughter. You know how it goes. Ta-dun, ta-dun, ta-dun. And then way down here is your political affiliation, right? Way, and somewhere in the middle is your church affiliation, right? You're a Christian, a disciple of Christ first. Don't ever forget that. First, don't ever forget that. Be faithful to Him. Amen? Praise God, we're living in a country where we can still talk like that and preach like that, Bible study like that. Amen? And we pray our country would continue to be friendly to the church. After all, it shakes out and history writes what it's going to write. After the country gets over the angst of January 6th, oh, let's say 10, 15 years from now, I think President Trump will go down as one of the friendliest presidents that the church and the unborn has ever known in the history of this country. But that's going to take a while. Wounds got to heal. Fences got to get mended. Time heals all wounds. Amen. So let's hope it does. And we can kind of come back together as a people. May not see eye to eye, but if I don't see an American beat a licensed peace officer with his own flag, you know, if I don't ever see an American beat a police officer with an American flag, I'll be the better for it. I hope I never have to see that again, as long as I live. It's just crazy. But anyway, amen. We digress. And hopefully you have a good rest of your week. Today is Wednesday, correct? And we'll see you Sunday. And I hope you have a great rest of your week. Pray and pray some more for this new administration. Pray for this continued transfer of power. And hey, you vote your vote, but they can't keep you from praying, friend. So just keep praying. You know what to do. Pray. You know who to pray to. Yeah, just pray to Him. With that said, let's close with a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. And Lord, we thank You for, again, this country. We thank You for this church. And Lord, we thank You for those that were able to tune in tonight. Be with those that wanted to tune in and couldn't. We pray that You'd make a way for them to tune in next time. And Lord, I pray they're able to look at this live stream at a later time and receive the truth, and Lord, the Holy Spirit, apply the truth to their heart. And Lord, we just seek to live Your truth out there in the world. Lord, not just to celebrate it in here, but to actually live it out there, Lord, where You've placed us on the front line. And Lord, help us be that Christian. Help us be that disciple. Help us be that believer. That Lord, that's not a man pleaser, but that is a God pleaser that puts You first. Lord, we want that relationship with You to be first. And Lord, may our priorities and may our time, how we've got our time scheduled and how we live our life, Lord, may it point towards that You are number one in our lives. Lord, we thank You tonight for loving us. We thank You tonight for shedding Your precious blood to cover our sin so that we might be saved. Lord, give us safety tonight. Give us safety the rest of this week. And Lord, we seek to come together this coming Sunday to praise You and worship You some more. We love You tonight for all You do. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Love you guys. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you Sunday morning. Take care.